This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This is the obvious question here. Obviously, there are things which might be regarded as top secret that you can't talk about, otherwise you'd have to kill us right now. Is there much, without saying what it is, that you obviously have to withhold because of that?
Not really. I'll be honest with you. The meat and potatoes are all there. The things I can't talk about are like specific system specifications. You know, it's like I can tell you that a third of the ship was taken up with our spaces, but I can't tell you the name of the spaces or exactly what equipment was in them. You know, I can't tell you how it operates. I couldn't tell you very nitty-gritty specifics about how to build one. I couldn't tell you how to repair one. You know, because that could give you information on how to replicate the technology. So I have to just keep in mind, you know, any information that could be used to either replicate the technology or to use against us, then I have to keep that stuff secret.
Right. That's perfectly understandable. It's just to give our listeners kind of an idea of the environment that you were in and sort of what kind of challenges you were facing when this all happened in order to determine exactly what it was that was happening.
Now, the challenges to determine what it was are whether or not we were able to see if it's, you know, squawking anything or broadcasting anything. You know, so, it, you know, first thing is it broadcasting anything? Nothing that we can see. Is it broadcasting IFF, which is identification friend or foe, which is all aircraft in civilian airspace and military aircraft have these transponders that tell us who they are and, you know, their flight name. And so we had nothing coming from them via IFF. Then we have to look at their radar profile, and we have to check anything else out that we might be able to determine what the object is that we're looking at. And then, of course, that's all after we verify that we're actually looking at something. You know, so that's after we take our systems down. That's after we do our diagnostics just to double check. Not that there were anything wrong with them. It's just when you deal with something that could possibly end up in a military action, you want to be damn sure that you're not shooting down an airliner or, you know, yeah. So, or if you're going to go tell the captain that you have, you know, unknown aircraft that, you know, literally are unknown, and yes, it's exactly what you think, you best be damn sure that it is.
I obviously have a question here. I assume, and this may be things you can't talk about, that the U.S. is in touch with its allies. So if they're sending something flying around, we know it's there just like they know what we're sending up there.
I think to a degree. I highly doubt we were broadcasting about our stealth bombers or fighters we were developing them. So, I mean, I think to a degree, you know, minus black projects, you're absolutely right. Any normal flight operations, any normal, you know, say, you know, the French military were doing exercises in the ocean, you know, they would, and we were happen to be somewhere near there, there definitely would be a courtesy. Hey, we're going to be working in this grid, you know, just to let you know. And I'm sure that all that stuff is coordinated on a level that, you know, I don't generally see, but I know of because of reading.
I would assume the same thing would be true if you had something top secret being tested and flown around. Some word would have to get to somebody so that you're not wasting your time with it. Or am I wrong?
Well, it depends on what it is, because, I mean, I was never in during the trials for the stealth fighters and bombers, but I do know that a healthy number of UFOs could be attributed to them, especially in the Southwest area. That was its stomping ground while it was being field tested. I really can't see any good reason to tell anybody about a black operation, you know. like if I was a foreign country, you know, you're going to have general communications, you know, and generally if you're having a, like if we're having, you know, workups in San Diego, we're not generally telling anybody we're doing it. But if anybody inquires, yeah, we're doing workups. You know, if you said, well, you know, we heard cannons going off. Yeah, we were shooting at San Clemente. You know, so we could verify after the fact. I think that's more happens than an active, you know, an active collusion where everybody knows what's going on.
Looking at the theories, one of the theories that voiced about UFOs is some of them might be test aircraft. Did it ever occur to you as a possibility that what you were seeing here was a test? How would you react? How would the ship react? How would all the vessels around there react if they were confronted by an unknown aircraft, even though that unknown aircraft is really one of ours?
Well, get ready for one of the things that will probably be taken out of context, but I wouldn't be surprised at all. When I said I'm on the fence about it, honestly, the level of technology is the only thing that keeps me on the fence that it's not ours. And I'd say 60-40, that 40% of me says that it could still be our technology. How they got it, how they developed it, that's up in the air. But I fully think that our own military or our own organizations would fly against us just to do proof of concept. I mean, we are talking about a government that sanctioned, you know, LSD trials on army, on active duty military members. You know, the CIA did it to civilians. I mean, these are not people that are not known for doing these types of things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it happens in the military all the time. There's all kinds of examples of that. But you are right as well, though, that this is a level of technology that is well above at least what we out here in the public know about, and for the most part, what most of the military knew about, too. So, I mean, it's something special, whatever it was.
Well, realistically, you're looking at technology at the minimum is 1,000 years ahead of what we're doing now.
Well, that already puts the screws to the theory of something conventional, something we're working on, because if we're 1,000 years ahead of something, of technology with the secret aircraft, think of the boasting rights. We could just say to any country that wishes us ill, hey, we got this stuff going on, and you better watch yourself.
And then again, I mean, how many people would have known that we would have functioning lasers like we do now, you know, lasers that can actually shoot things down? I mean, that was, a pipe dream in the 80s and 90s, but all of a sudden, you know, 2000 beyond, it's not such a pipe dream anymore. You know,
well, actually have them further back than that. If you looked, it's so weird
I'm talking about a usable size, though.
Oh, yeah. They put one in a 747. And then, I mean, the thing is that one keeps popping up like years later. Oh, they just did this. But I remember it popping up like way before that, you know, that same article. And so it's like, yeah, you know, we know about the Starfire range and the stuff that they were doing with this way back a long time before people knew what was going on, which means, and this is what I was getting to before, maybe we're not dealing with a real object like a craft, but we're dealing with an illusion of a craft of some kind of sophisticated countermeasures. And we touched on this in the last show. We've touched on this with other guests. There are people that just say there is no way that we have anything that could come close to that in terms of technology. And I go, well, you and I actually talked about this on the last show. Yeah, they do have radar spoofing. We do, even back in those days, there could have been that kind of technology that we just don't know about that was capable of producing some kind of a visible phenomena that could be construed as a UFO, but really wasn't there, nothing there. And that would explain a lot.
You know, here's something that occurs to me. This is might be interesting. It goes to something probably that you may not have studied. Back in World War II, we had ghost rockets. That was a phenomenon. People were seeing things in the sky. And one particular UFO investigator named James Carrion, who for a time had headed the mutual UFO network MUFON, and he wrote a book called The Rosetta Deception, suggesting we had that up there. We created this, not because it represented real strange objects, but to fool the Russians, We wanted the other country, presumed to become our main opposition, to think we had this to spook them. Where do we go from there? I'll ask you in our next segment with Mary Jean and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD Family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
By the way, Gary Voorhees will stick with us for After the Paracast, available to members of the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. Okay, Gary. So, obviously hearing about all this, the New York Times story and everything, and the Russians know this, what was going on now. The Iranians know it. The Chinese know it. Saudi Arabia knows it. Is it possible if this represents our own test aircraft, we did this, created this entire scenario to spook the other countries?
It could be a possibility. The problems that they would have to surmount to create a situation like this would be that they would have to be able to create something that could physically reflect radar. They would have to create something that could be three-dimensional in freestanding space and be able to be observed physically. And these are very, very, very far stretches for, I mean, the same level of technology that it was exhibiting would have to have needed to spoof it. So either way, the level of technology is so ridiculous that it's hard for me to say that it could be spoofed.
Especially it's also 17 years ago. What's been going on since then?
Yeah. Our systems have only gotten better since then, and because of the way that the SPY-1 Bravo radar works, it's dang near impossible to really spoof it. You know, if you had a single feed horn and it was a single pulse radar, you know, I could say yeah, because I mean, during World War II, to spoof, you know, the old style radars, you could just use some type of dense material, and as long as they pulled a track, it was a track. But you couldn't keep a track. That's why they had balloons during World War One, and during Blitzkrieg, they had balloons in the air to confuse enemy combatants. You know, I mean, we've been doing these types of things forever, and we will continue to do them. Is it possible? It would be possible if we have that level of technology, and that level of technology is just as ridiculous as what the Tic Tac did.
Okay, but I'm not so sure about that, because I went to research this, and just what I can find out as a civilian now is that the Navy has spent a lot of money and time doing radar spoofing technology and they've invested a ton of time and money into it to get it and to be able to make it work. They're going to have to test it somehow, right? And we're not talking about old style World War II radar. We're talking about new stuff. I mean, if they've been doing this all along, maybe there's technology there that you're just not familiar with.
Like I said, understanding exactly how the radar signatures come back and it has to be some type of dense material there. There has to be something physically there to spoof a radar, you know, or something being broadcast at us, you know. So you say it was just a small unmanned aircraft, right, that was spoofing us, or a balloon that has broadcasting equipment set up. There would still need to be something physical there to do the spoofing. It couldn't be just somebody hiding in a cloud spoofing. I mean, there has to be some type of physical system present to do spoofing. And nothing like that was present other than this object. If this object itself was doing the spoofing, it still would have had to attribute itself to the flight characteristics that we witnessed. So that means that if it was spoofing, it would have had to do Mach 5 to 25 while it spoofed. So it would still have had to have had the characteristics of what we tracked.
Right. And well, when I was looking at this, it turns out that plasma can be picked up on radar, though, too. So, I mean, what if it's some sort of, particle?
Most dense plasmas and things of that nature usually would get filtered out through the system.
You wouldn't see it like you saw on that playback.
It just wouldn't be
that clear.
It generally wouldn't be clear. It would be on the radar. It wouldn't even stay on as a solid track for very long. To generate plasma, it's very high energy. So, I mean, you would have to continuously generate plasma on a regular intervals to continuously have some type of track like that. I mean, that honestly blows my mind how that could be accomplished.
They've been doing it. I mean, you just have to look it up. But I did.
It didn't work very well.
To this extent, it just seems like, but then how, I mean, again, like Gene says, there's the extent that we know, and there's the extent that they know.
Well, from the research I've done, you know, they've had some systems post us that could possibly have been culprits, but then when you look at the eyewitnesses, the radar data itself, the time frames at which we were, you know, the long periods of time that we were actually observing these things, it doesn't lend for any viable way for any of those systems to have worked for that length of time without it being, without us being able to observe what was causing it.
Figure out what was going on.
Yeah,
it does require quite a stretch, but I don't know if it's quite as much of a stretch as some people would say, because I mean, I started looking into the, when they started doing this, and we could go all the way back to the Benowitz affair and the Starfire optical range where they were doing that back in the 80s, back when they were doing the whole SDI program. So what they could come up with between the 80s and 2000, that's 20 years.
Yeah,
and you put 20 years and a lot of black money into a project like that, and with what the United States has and its ingenuity down there, I don't think for a second that they couldn't have come up with something like that in that amount of time. I think they definitely could have.
I would definitely say that it would still be on the table, but as more of a, it's got about the same probability as, you know, these being solid crafts and being ours.
Well, you see, now we're getting into the nitty-gritty here. We've got a phenomenon that has existed at least since 1947 and possibly going back longer. And now when we look at what happened to you and all the cases that have come to light in recent years, it's as if none of the other stuff mattered or existed. It suddenly comes out of the blue. We didn't have decades of seeing strange things in the sky that maybe have been treated as jokes, but for a lot of people simply could not be explained.
And I'm more interested in, you know, I mean, if it ends up being a technology like that, I'd be fine with it. I mean, I'm in no way going to defend that it was a solid object if the science ends up saying it wasn't. You know, but when it comes down to it, I mean, understanding how it works, I can't reasonably say that it's not a possibility, but I can't say that it's even a possibility. Like, if this was a double-blind study, I would discount it. Yeah, because it would be such a small percentage. It'd be like, one person got a headache in the entire case study, and I'm not going to put that on as a side effect. You know, it's such a stretch, but I will say that it's not impossible.
We have something here that sounds impossible. These announcements coming with Gene, Gary, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva this week following the G7 summit and a meeting of NATO leaders in Brussels. But Senator Bill Hagerty says he's not expecting too much to come from the meeting because the president is going in from a position of weakness. The Tennessee Republican tells Fox News that Biden has already offered too many concessions to the Russians.
I think the G7 is frankly being overshadowed completely by what is going to happen next week when Biden does meet with Putin. And Biden's going into this in a position of weakness. Look, he capitulated on the START Treaty at the very beginning with Russia. Now he's turned around and allowed them to finish the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Look, that project was categorized as a malign influence project by the Trump administration. I served in that administration. This is a huge mistake to walk into this meeting in a position of weakness, and I think that's what all of the G7 leaders are wondering about. How will Biden and Putin manage this meeting?
You're listening to USA Radio News. The auction for a ride into space next month with Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and his brother Mark has been completed. John Clemens reports.
More than 7,500 people from 129 countries placed a bid for the online auction that was narrowed down to about 20 high rollers. The auction was the official launch of Blue Origin's New Shepard that'll fly into space July 20th on the 52nd anniversary of the Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin's moon landing. Okay, here's the winning bid.
And that is sold $28 million to number 107.
The $28 million will now be given to Blue Origin's Club for the Future that promotes science and technology to young Americans. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
And new data shows that 13 states have reached the goal of having 70% of their adult populations at least partially vaccinated against COVID. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Gary Voorhees is joining us, one of the people who witnessed one of the most famous or infamous UFO encounters of recent years. After this happened, did you start digging right away into the subject of UFOs or what?
For me, I kind of went the other way with it. Instead of looking into the UFOs, I was looking into how they did what they did. Talking with physicists that I knew, making physicists, if somebody said they were a physicist or if they said they were some type of scientist, you know, I'd pick their brains about things. I did my own research. I did my own studying. And, you know, I mean, of course, this is all, you know, self-taught everything. So, just trying to understand what I saw, you know, how could it be possible? How could this have worked? How could it, you know, make sense? You know, I know that these things are possible now, so what do I do about it? And I had to keep it to myself in general, you know, so when I'd ask questions about certain things, I just describe a certain situation and say, how would you think that would happen, you know? And that's how I would get information, more and more information about things, and that's, you know, also studying my own pubs and studying my own systems and stuff like that, you know, because I had a lot of that information still available to me. And that's why it's so hard for me to believe that it was spoofed, is just because after everything I researched to understand how this all works, it's hard for me to believe that it was spoofed.
Okay, so we've got the fact that there's a Pentagon UAP task force. If this is something that was spoofed, if it was something that we did, why bother to do that? And I would also think, going back to the original UAP investigation financed with that $22 million that Senator Reid and his colleagues raised, why would they do that they have access to intelligence information. They would know what was going on, and they wouldn't even touch it. The fact that they went through all that indicates to me that they felt something unusual was going on.
Yeah, I think that's the general consensus, is that we don't know what it is. We don't know what the phenomenon of aerial, all these aerial phenomenons that are being witnessed, we don't know what they are. And they could pose a threat. They may not pose a threat. But we don't know. And, and that's a lot of the reason why it's being posed that way to Congress and, to get these things rolling. Because if they don't know about it, that even concerns me, because usually most politicians are more concerned with their career than, what's right and wrong. So if somebody says, no, you probably shouldn't talk about that, then generally they just don't.
Well, you see, that's what's so unusual about all the discussion we've had. So look at Senator Reid, former Senate Majority Leader, pretty high up there in the Democratic politics, now retired. He hooked up with two other senators to get the $22 million, which is not much. It's like you buy three or four toilet seats and, that's it.
A couple of hammers and some toilet seats.
Well, yeah, okay, so they got the hammers on special that week. If you buy three toilet seats, they give you five hammers. Yeah. It answers the question, if I had a hammer. That was an old song, an old folk song. Anyway, seriously speaking here, we have Senator Reid saying he had a long interest in this subject going back to the 1990s in his interviews. We have John Podesta, who worked with President Obama and President Clinton and worked with Hillary Clinton and wrote the introduction to Leslie Kane's UFO book. We have John Brennan and James Woolsey, both of whom were CIA directors, both of whom said that something is going on and needs to be investigated seriously. Christopher Mellon, he worked for both the Democratic and Republican administrations. And he says this is something that has to be investigated. So we have people here in the world of politics saying something is important. Senator Marco Rubio, a Republican senator, for example. Obviously, Hillary Clinton had said a number of things about it. What interested me during the 2016 campaign was this. Hillary Clinton's going on TV shows saying she wants to get to the bottom of the UAP mystery. You see, they're UAP now, not UFO. She makes a big point of that. She obviously knows what's going on. Knowing the campaign she was in, you'd think that the other guy who was calling her Crooked Hillary would also say Crazy Hillary for chasing after UFOs or flying saucers, and he didn't. He didn't touch it that I know about. Trump didn't say anything about it, even though she was very vocal in talking about this. That is what's so strange to me. People on both sides of the political aisle, talk show hosts, conservative, liberal, whatever, talking seriously about this subject. And if this is just a test, why is that happening?
My thoughts on it is that, a lot of these people know more than they're telling us, and there's something that concerns them. There's something that they want out. And because of national security, because of clear, the information being, classified or, whatever be the case, that it's not come out, it seems to be there's almost like a small cabal of these people that are like, look, pushing, an agenda to get this information out to us. So it's either just a big, let's get them to really believe in UFOs, or it's a situation where there really is information that they truly want to get out to the public. People like Chris Mellon and Lou Elizondo, these guys obviously know more than they're telling us and can't say anything due to their, relationship with the U.S. government. But they're definitely pushing super strong narratives on what needs to be looked at. So maybe we should just keep looking at what they're telling us to look at instead of fighting it.
There's a UFO investigator you might have heard of, Kevin D. Randall. And Kevin has been writing about the subject for years. He covered Roswell. He's also a fiction writer, by the way, in case you want to look it up. But he was suggesting here that this Pentagon UAP task force was what he called Condon 2.0. He's referring to the Condon Report back in the late 60s that was put together after congressional hearings that were chaired by former President Ford when he was a congressman from Michigan. And it was a whitewash of the subject. The Air Force closed its Project Blue Book after that. Don't know if you've studied all that ancient history, Gary. That's way, way, way before you were born.
Well, in some case, of it, yeah.
Sure. And that was it. He thinks this is going to lead up to one big bust. But we didn't have this buildup then. Now, I was really young when this happened. We didn't have that kind of buildup in the 60s that we're having right now. Again,
but
we have a very polarized society, very polarized world. Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, all creating expectations that something positive is going on. So I just wonder.
Well, I mean, during the 60s and 50s, though, we still at least had, you know, faith in our government. You know, nowadays, you basically got to set somebody on fire and throw them down the street to get anybody's attention. So, you know, it does make sense that you would need to build something up way more to complete the narrative. You know, this could be just another set of control factors, like you said, just make this, you know, give us a little bit, but not enough to really know the truth.
And you see what makes it worse here, if the President of the United States came out there and said, we think UAPs are possibly off-world and we're going to figure out what's going on, but so far they don't seem to have represented any threat or danger to us. You have the Democrats would believe him. 70% of Republicans would say, Trump's president, not Biden, so whatever he says, we ignore. And if Trump were still president and he said something, you'd have Democrats ignoring him. We live in that kind of society where I suggested years ago that if Obama trotted out an alien being, a gray whatever, Klaatu, whoever, people would think it was a fake out. That's how crazy this world is. Gary, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best-tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$50,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
So before we get to discussing the work of UAPX, your organization, we're still in the month of June as we record this show for broadcast in June. Do you think this report that's supposed to come out this month, and will it have anything hopeful, positive, or will just be an excuse, we need more time? Or maybe not come out at all?
I think it definitely a report will come out. I think it'll end up being fashionably late, and then it'll have some like a couple of tidbits that keep us happy, but not the absolute disclosure that anybody's looking for. That's honestly probably never going to happen, just because of the collateral damage that would incur from them saying, yes, we've known about this for since the 50s, because then they have to be responsible for anybody's career that was ruined over this, anybody's death that was attributed to it. You know, it just would open up way too many lawsuits and way too many wormholes. So if they do ever admit that this is of off-world origin, then it would be based off of current things that happen rather than things in the past. I doubt that they were ever going to admit that they've known it since the 50s.
But they would have to then, or at least they'd be asked, to explain how has this been going on for so many years, and it finally takes you till 2021 to tell us we have off-world visitors that have clearly been here for decades?
No, then that goes into plausible deniability, and then, of course, all they have to say is national security, and they don't have to say a damn thing about anything.
Well, the thing is that they could also say, we continue to investigate the phenomenon, but so far it does not indicate any potential threat to national security, and that's another way of getting out of it.
Yeah, they basically can do the straight politician's route to get out of it. As long as they keep the interest but yet don't actually say anything, they can keep people like us, keep chomping at the bit, and the general public will just go about their daily business. Because as long as it doesn't really affect their personal bubble, they just don't care after a while.
Have you ever read at all, Gary, the reports about UFO cases where they flew in and around nuclear installations and may have interfered with their operation?
Yeah, I've read reports about them literally turning off our nukes. I mean, stuff like that is what, really does have me concerned. I mean, the fact that, the objects that we saw were able to outfly our F-18s, our most advanced aerial combat fighters, like they were just kids kicking around a ball.
Now, just as a point of reference here, listeners, we did this portion of the show before the leak about the Pentagon UFO report came out that it would neither confirm alien origin or say it wasn't possible. So please evaluate what we say in light of that. Let's go on. If you're reporting them accurately, there's no possible way they could be made on this planet by any known civilization.
I think it's a good chance that they're not. You know, there's a good chance that they may not even be manned. Because, I mean, if I was an advanced civilization sending something to another world, I probably would start off with, what, maybe rovers, unmanned craft. You know, if I did go to a planet, you know, I might even leave things behind to monitor the situation on that planet. You know, I mean, these are all things that we would do and we have done on other planets ourselves. So why is it out of the realm of possibility that another civilization thousands of years ahead of us hasn't done it here?
The only issue here is they have seen entities or beings in and around the craft. Now, I'll go to the Sicaro, New Mexico case of the mid-1960s, where a police officer sees a couple of beings around the craft. I'm not talking about someone who says they've been abducted by aliens, because if we can talk about that, it may be part of the mystery or something totally different. I'm just saying that on occasion, entities are seen, but that doesn't tell us they're not robotic. They could still be humanoid, or
they could also be biomechanical. I mean,
sure,
we've already got technology that's literally technically alive, but is just technology.
Suggesting then that we wouldn't even bother to send the populace here if we were them a thousand years ahead of those puny earthlings. There are science fiction stories suggesting that what they do is they upload a copy of their consciousness to this artificial being that does the mission, returns, and then uploads that experience back to the originator. So they experienced everything that happened. Everything that happened, but they didn't have to travel if they didn't want to.
That would be wild. I could definitely see something like that happening. I mean, then they could also have already developed psionic technology. We're already now starting to realize that we could use, you know, just thought alone to move technology. You know, who knows what you could do with that in a million years? You know, you could literally create technology that can just manifest whatever you look like via this object, you know, right into your head, and you think you're seeing it. You know, you can feel it, you can touch it, but it's just a psionic manifestation of some type.
You know, what's interesting about that, though, Gary, too, is that it, I mean, this goes back to when we were talking about the whole radar spoofing thing again, in that we may not be dealing with necessarily our technology spoofing us, but their technology spoofing us, just like you were saying. I mean, if they can implant images into people's minds, and there's been a lot of reports that they can do that, if they have technology that is hardware that can perform the way that it does, then there's really nothing that they can't make us think we're seeing, whether it's there or not.
Yeah, and that's been my argument with some, I've gotten into some discussions with abductees about whether or not all of these aliens are good or bad. And I'm like, well, you know, anybody that would take me from my family and force me to do anything is not good in my book. And then, of course, you've got a lot of people that are like, well, I welcome it. And I'm like, okay, well, that's you. But there's a lot of accounts where people don't. I hate being, you know, bringing anything really negative to the concept, but I think that we should take everything into consideration. Should these things be able to manipulate the way that we look at things or perceive our own reality? Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, and I think that it's been well established that they can, and they've been doing that for decades, because you're talking to a person here who is a believer already. So although I do come across as skeptical about individual cases, and, you know, I ask some pretty hard questions, I do believe alien visitation is a reality. So
I believe it's definitely a possibility. And the only reason I say it that way is that, you know, I'm not so much as nuts and bolts as I was the last time that we had our conversations. You know, I've even developed even thought processes that maybe that the Big Bang was actually initiated by just consciousness alone. And so I've delved into some more of the phenomena type scenarios where, you know, more woo-ish than science. And because there's just a wall that you run into where you can't explain it. So you got to start looking somewhere.
I mean, I think that you make a really good point, though. If we're dealing with technology and civilizations that can directly influence our mind, and we even have some technology that can do that ourselves here with different kinds of microwaves and other types of technology. I mean, they're using it in the commercial industry now, where you can go and stand outside a storefront in New York and they beam the audio right into your head, and it sounds like somebody is talking to you from inside your head while you're watching the presentation in the storefront window. So, I mean, if we can do that, what's stopping some other civilization that's 1,000 years ahead from doing that?
Well, I mean, just look at the work that, you know, mainstream media has done with just subliminal messaging. I mean, literally making you want to go do something without physically forcing you to go do it.
That's so true. If they're here for any reason, I think it is some kind of largely in a psychological experiment. It's as if they're testing our behavior. And now this takes me back to the whole incident again, before we drift off too far from that. It seems like what they're doing is like, okay, we'll make ourselves detectable, but we'll stay way out of range. We won't let them get a hold of any of our craft, but they don't have to do any of that. Given their technology, they could just not be anywhere near us at any given time. So the only, it seems to me, logical inference here is that they're doing it on purpose to get our attention in some way, to judge our behavior or analyze our behavior. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, if they're really, you know, able to do that over long distances, I mean, if they could spoof these things to make an entire carrier, you know, an entire aircraft carrier and associated personnel see these things, then they don't need to be present for anything. They can do it anywhere on the earth at any time.
We've got more to come with Gary, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.